of paragraphs, a couple of paragraphs, then like that. Nama Aam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Niravishesha Shunyavani Pasti Chadeshitane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Vichayananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Krishna Book Chapter 20, Description of Water. The killing of Kalambasura and the devouring of the devastating forest fire by Krishna and Balaram became household topics in Vrindavan. The cowherd men described these wonderful activities to their wives and to everyone else, and all were struck with wonder. They concluded that Krishna and Balaram were demigods who had kindly come to Vrindavan to become their children. In this way, the rainy season ensued. In India, after the scorching heat of the summer, the rainy season is very welcome. The clouds accumulating in the sky, covering the sun and the moon, become very pleasing to the people, and they expect rainfall at every moment. After summer, the advent of the rainy season is considered to be a life-giving source for everyone. The thunder and occasional lightning are also pleasurable to the people. The symptoms of the rainy season may be compared to the symptoms of the living entities who are covered by the three modes of material nature. The unlimited sky is like the Supreme Brahman, and the tiny living entities are like the covered sky, or Brahman, covered by the three modes of material nature. Originally, everyone is part and parcel of Brahman. The Supreme Brahman, or the unlimited sky, can never be covered by a cloud, but a portion of it can be covered. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they're only an insignificant portion of the Supreme Lord. This portion is covered by the modes of material nature, and therefore the living entities are residing within this material world. The Brahmajyoti, spiritual effulgence, is just like the sunshine. As the sunshine is full of molecular shining particles, so the Brahmajyoti is full of minute portions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Out of that unlimited expansion of minute portions of the Supreme Lord, some are covered by the influence of material nature, whereas others are free. Well, anyway, let's carry on. Do you want to read a paragraph, a couple of paragraphs?
Clouds accumulated water drawn from the land by the sunshine. Continually for 8 months, the sun evaporates all kinds of water from the surface of the globe. And this water is accumulated in the shape of clouds, which are distributed as water when there is need. Similarly, a government exacts various taxes from the citizens, such as income tax and sales tax, which the citizens are able to pay by the different material activities, agriculture, trade, industry, and so on. This taxation is compared to the sun's drawing water from the earth. When there is again need of water on the surface of the globe, the same sunshine converts the water into clouds and distributes it all over the globe. Similarly, the taxes collected by the government must be distributed to the people again as educational work, public work, sanitation work, etc. This is very essential for good government. Government should not simply exact taxes for useless squandering. The tax collection should be utilized for the public welfare of the state. During the rainy season, there are strong winds blustering all over the country and carrying clouds from one place to another to distribute life-giving water to the needy living entities. Water is urgently needed after the summer season, and thus the clouds are just like a rich man who, in times of need, distributes his money even to the point of exhausting his whole treasury. So the clouds exhaust themselves in distributing water all over the surface of the globe. Mm-hmm.
Huh? When Maharaj Dasarath, the father of Lord Ramachandra, used to fight with his enemies, it was said that he approached them just like a farmer uprooting unnecessary plants and trees. When there was need of giving charity, he used to distribute money exactly as the cloud distributes rain. The distribution of rain by clouds is so sumptuous that it is compared to the distribution of wealth by a great, beneficent person. The cloud's downpour is so profuse that the rains even fall on rocks and hills and on the oceans and seas where there is no need for water. The clouds resemble a charitable person who opens his treasury for distribution and who does not discriminate whether the charity is needed or not. He gives in charity open-handedly. Before the rainfall, the whole surface of the globe becomes almost depleted of all kinds of energies and appears very lean. After the rainfall, the whole surface of the earth becomes green with vegetation and appears to be very healthy and strong. Here a comparison is made to the person undergoing austerities for fulfillment of a material desire. The flourishing condition of the earth after the rainy season is compared to the fulfillment of material desires. Sometimes, when a country is subjugated by an undesirable government, persons and parties undergo severe penances and austerities to get control of the government. And when they attain control, they flourish by giving themselves generous salaries. This temporary profit is like the flourishing of the earth in the rainy season. Actually, one should undergo severe austerities and penances only to achieve spiritual happiness. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is recommended that tapasya, or austerity, should be accepted for realizing the Supreme Lord. By accepting austerity in devotional service, one regains his spiritual life, and as soon as one regains his spiritual life, he enjoys unlimited spiritual happiness, spiritual bliss. But if someone undertakes austerities and penances for some material gain, it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the results are temporary and that they are desired by persons of less intelligence.
During the rainy season, in the evening, there are many glowworms visible on the tops of trees, hither and thither, and they glitter just like lights. But the luminaries of the sky, the stars and the moon, are not visible. Similarly, in the age of Kali, persons who are atheists or miscreants become very prominently visible, whereas persons who are actually following the Vedic principles of spiritual emancipation are practically obscured. This age, Kali Yuga, is compared to the cloudy season of the living entities. In this age, real knowledge is covered by the influence of the material advancement of civilization. The cheap mental speculators, atheists, and manufacturers of so-called religious principles become prominent, like the glowworms. Whereas persons strictly following the Vedic principles or scriptural injunctions become covered by the clouds of this age, people should learn to take advantage of the actual luminaries of the sky. The sun, the moon, the stars, instead of the glowworms, the light, action of the glowworms cannot give any light in the darkness of the night. Thus, clouds sometimes clear, even in the rainy season, and sometimes the moon, the stars, and the sun become visible. So even in this Kali Yuga, there are sometimes advantages. For example, sometimes Lord Chaitanya's Vedic movement of distributing the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is heard. People seriously eager to find real light should take advantage of this movement instead of looking towards the light of mental speculators and atheists.
After the first rainfall, when there is a thundering sound in the clouds, all the frogs begin to croak like students suddenly engaged in reading their studies. Students are generally supposed to rise early in the morning. They do not usually arise of their own accord, however, but only when there is a bell sounding in the temple or other spiritual institution. By the order of the spiritual master, they immediately rise. And after finishing their morning duties, they sit down to study the Vedas or chant Vedic mantras. Everyone is sleeping in the darkness of Kali Yuga, but when there is a great Acharya, by his calling only, everyone takes to the study of the Vedas to acquire actual knowledge.
During the rainy season, many small ponds, lakes, and rivulets become full of water. Otherwise, the rest of the year, they remain dry. Similarly, materialistic persons are dry. But sometimes, when they are in a so-called opulent position, with a home, a children, or a little bank balance, they appear to be flourishing. But immediately afterwards, they become dry again, like the small rivulets and ponds. The poet Vidyapati said that in the society of friends, family, children, wife, etc., there is certainly some pleasure, but that pleasure is compared to a drop of water in the desert. Everyone is hankering after happiness. Just as in the desert, everyone is hankering after water. If in the desert there is a drop of water, it may of course be said that water is there, but the benefit from that drop of water is very insignificant. In our materialistic way of life, which is just like a desert, we are hankering after an ocean of happiness. But in the form of society, friends, and mundane love, we are getting no more than a drop of water. Our satisfaction is never achieved, as the small rivulets, lakes, and ponds are never filled with water in the dry season. Due to rainfall, the grass, trees, and other vegetation look very green. Sometimes the grass is covered by a certain kind of red insect, and when the green and red combine with the umbrella-like mushrooms, the entire scene changes. Just like a person who has suddenly become rich. The farmer then becomes very happy to see his fields full of grain, but the capitalists, who are always unaware of the activities of a supernatural power, become unhappy because they are afraid of a competitive price due to abundant production. In some places, certain capitalists and government restrict the farmer's production of grain, not knowing the actual fact that all food grains are supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. According to the Vedic injunction, Eko Bhavunam Yogidhatikaman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead maintains this creation. Therefore, he arranges for a supply of whatever is required for all living entities. When there is a population increase, it is the business of the Supreme Lord to feed the people. But atheists or miscreants do not like abundant production of food grains, especially if their business maybe might be hampered.
Who's next?
During a rainy season, all living entities in the land, sky and water become refreshed, exactly like one who engages in transcendental loving service of the Lord. We have practical experience of this with our students in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Before becoming students, they were dirty looking, although they had naturally beautiful personal features. But due to not having any information on Krishna Consciousness, they appeared very dirty and wretched. Since they have taken to Krishna Consciousness, their health has improved, and by following the rules and regulations, their bodily luster has increased. When they are dressed with saffron colored cloth, with tilak on their foreheads, and beads in their hands and on their necks, they look exactly as if they become that come directly from Vaikuntha.
In the rainy season, when the rivers swell and rush to the oceans and seas, they appear to agitate the ocean. Similarly, if a person who is engaged in the mystic yoga process is not very much advanced in spiritual life, he can become agitated by the sex impulse. Although during the rainy season, the high mountains are splashed by torrents of rain, they do not change. Similarly, a person who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, even if put into difficulties, is not embarrassed. A person who is spiritually advanced accepts the adverse condition of life as the mercy of the Lord, and thus he is completely eligible to enter into the spiritual kingdom. In the rainy season, some of the roads are not frequently used, and they become covered with long grasses. These roads are exactly like a Brahmin who is not accustomed to studying and practicing the reformatory methods of the Vedic injunctions. He becomes covered with the long grasses of Maya. In that condition, forgetful of his constitutional nature, he forgets his position of eternal servitorship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By being deviated by the seasonal overgrowth of long grasses created by Maya, the person identifies himself with the Mayic production and succumbs to illusion, forgetting his spiritual life.
Who's next?
During the rainy season, lightning appears in one group of clouds and then immediately in another group of clouds. This phenomenon is compared to a lusty woman who does not fix her mind on one man. A cloud is compared to a qualified person because it pours rain and gives sustenance to many people. A man who is qualified similarly gives sustenance to many living creatures, such as family members or many workers in business. Unfortunately, his whole life can be disturbed by a wife who divorces him. When the husband is disturbed, the whole family is ruined, and the children are dispersed, or the business is closed, and everything is affected. It is therefore recommended that a woman desiring to advance in Krishna consciousness peacefully live with a husband, and that the couple not separate under any condition. The husband and the wife should control sex indulgence and concentrate their minds on Krishna consciousness so their life may be successful. After all, in the material world, a man requires a woman and a woman requires a man. When they are combined, they should live peacefully in Krishna consciousness and should not be restless like the lightning flashing from one group of the clouds to another. Sometimes, in addition to the roaring thunder of the clouds, there is an appearance of a rainbow, which stands as a bowl without a string. Actually, a bowl is in the curved position, being tied at its two ends by the bowstring. But in the rainbow, there is no such string, and yet it rests in the sky so beautifully. Similarly, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends to this material world, he appears just like an ordinary human being. But he is not resting on any material condition. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he appears for his internal potency, which is free from the bondage of external potency. What is bondage for the ordinary creature and freedom for the personality of Godhead? In the rainy season, the moonlight is covered by clouds, but is visible at intervals. It sometimes appears that the moon is moving without the movement of the clouds, but actually the moon is still. Due to the clouds, it also appears to move. Similarly, for one who has identified himself with moving material world, his actual spiritual luster is covered by illusion, and with the movement of the material activities, he thinks that he is moving through different spheres of life. This is due to false ego, which is the demarcation between spiritual and material existence, just as the moving cloud is the demarcation between the moonlight and darkness. In the rainy season, when the clouds appear for the first time, after seeing their appearance, the peacocks begin to dance with joy. This can be compared to persons who are very harassed in the materialistic way of life. If they can find association of a person engaged in loving devotional service of the Lord, they become enlightened, just like the peacocks when they dance. We have practical experience of this because many of our students were dry and morose previous to their coming to Krishna consciousness. But having come into contact with the devotees, they are now dancing their jubilant peacocks.
Plants and creepers grow by drinking water from the ground. Similarly, a person practicing austerities becomes dry, but after the austere performances are completed and he gets the result, he begins to enjoy life in sense gratification with family, society, love, home, and other paraphernalia. He becomes jolly like newly grown plants and grass. Sometimes it is seen that cranes and ducks meander continually on the banks of the lakes and rivers. Although the banks are filled with muddy garbage and thorny creepers, similarly, persons who are householders without Krishna consciousness are constantly tearing in material life, in spite of all kinds of inconveniences. In family life or in any life, one cannot be perfectly happy without being Krishna consciousness. Srila Narottama Das Thakur prays that he will have the association of a person, either a householder or a man in the renounced order of life, who is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord and is always crying the holy name of Lord Chaitanya. For the materialistic person, worldly affairs become too aggressive, whereas to a person who is in Krishna consciousness, everything appears to be happily situated.
The barriers around an agricultural field sometimes break due to heavy turbulence of rain. Similarly, the unauthorized atheistic propaganda in the age of Kali breaks the boundary of the very injunctions. Thus, people gradually degenerate to goddesses. In the rainy season, the clouds just follow in the river water, which is welcomed like nectar. When the Vedic followers, the Brahmanas, inspire rich men, like kings and members of the wealthy mercantile community, to give charity in the performance of great sacrifices, the distribution of such wealth is also nectarian. The four sections of human society, namely the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, and the Vaishyas, and the Shudras, are meant to live peacefully in a cooperative mood. This is possible when they are guided by expert Vedic Brahmins who perform sacrifices and distribute wealth equally.
Vrindavan Forest improved from the rains and was replete with ripened dates, mangoes, blackberries and other fruits. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his boyfriends and Lord Balaram, entered the forest to enjoy the new seasonal atmosphere. The cows, being fed by new grasses, became very healthy, and their milk bags were all very full. When Lord Krishna called them by name, they immediately came to him out of affection, and in their joyful condition, the milk flowed from their bags. Lord Krishna was very much pleased when passing through the Vrindavan forest by the site of Govardhan Hill. On the bank of the Yamuna, he saw all the trees decorated with beehives pouring honey. There were many waterfalls on Govardhan Hill, and their flowing made a nice sound. Krishna heard them as he looked into the caves of the hill. When the rainy season was not ended completely, but was gradually turning to autumn, sometimes, especially when there was rainfall within the forest, Krishna and his companions would sit under a tree or within the caves of Govardhan Hill and enjoy eating the ripened fruits and talking with great pleasure. When Krishna and Balaram were in the forest, Mother Yashoda used to send them some fruits, sweetmeats and rice mixed with yogurt. Krishna would take them, sit down on a slab of stone on the bank of the Yamuna, and call his friends to join him. While Krishna and Balaram and their friends were eating, they watched the cows, calves, and bulls. The cows appeared to be a little tired from standing with their heavy milk bags. By sitting and chewing grass, they became happy, and Krishna was pleased to see them. He was proud to see the beauty of the forest due to the rainy season, which was nothing but the manifestation of his own energy. At such times, Krishna would praise nature's special activities during the rainy season. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the material energy or nature is not independent in its actions. Nature is acting under the superintendence of Krishna. This is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, which states that material nature known as Durga is acting as the shadow of Krishna. Whatever order is sent from Krishna, material nature obeys. Therefore, the natural beauty created by the rainy season was acted out according to the indications of Krishna, who thus felt very proud of material nature's beautiful activities. While Krishna and Balaram were enjoying the gifts of the rainy season in this way, the autumn season gradually arrived, when all the water reservoirs become very clean, and when pleasing and refreshing air blows everywhere. With the appearance of autumn, the sky was completely cleared of all clouds, and it recovered its natural blue color. The blooming lotus flowers in the clear water in the forest appeared like persons who have fallen down from yoga practice, but have again become beautiful by resuming their spiritual life. Everything becomes naturally beautiful with the appearance of the autumn season. Similarly, when a materialistic person takes to Krishna consciousness and spiritual life, he also becomes as clear as the sky and water in autumn. Who's next?
The autumn season takes away the rolling of dark clouds in the sky as well as the polluted water. Filthy conditions on the ground also become cleansed. Similarly, a person who takes to Krishna consciousness immediately becomes cleansed of all dirty things within and without. Krishna is therefore known as Hari. Hari means he who takes away. Krishna immediately takes away all unclean habits from anyone who takes to Krishna consciousness. The clouds of autumn are white, for they do not carry any water. Similarly, a retired man being freed from all responsibility of family affairs, namely maintaining the home, wife and children, and taking completely to Krishna consciousness, becomes freed from all anxieties and looks as white as clouds in autumn. Sometimes in autumn the falls come down from the top of the hill to supply clean water, and sometimes they stop. Similarly, sometimes great saintly persons distribute clear knowledge, and sometimes they are silent. The small ponds, which were filled with water because of the rainy season, gradually dry up in autumn. As for the small aquatics living in the reservoir, they cannot understand that their ponds are diminishing day by day, just as the materially engrossed persons cannot understand that their duration of life is being reduced day by day. Such persons engage in maintaining cows, property, children, wife, society, and friendship. Due to the reduced water and scorching heat from the sun in the autumn season, the small creatures living in small reservoirs of water are very much disturbed. They are exactly like uncontrolled persons who are always unhappy from being unable to enjoy life or maintain their family members. The muddy earth gradually dries up and the newly grown fresh vegetation begins to wither. Similarly, for one who has taken to Krishna consciousness, desire for family enjoyment gradually dries up.
Because of the appearance of the autumn season, the water of the ocean becomes calm and quiet, just as a person developed in self-realization becomes free from disturbance by the three modes of material nature. In autumn, farmers save the water within the fields by building strong walls so that the water contained within the field cannot run out. There is hardly any hope for new rainfall, therefore they want to save whatever is in the field. Similarly, a person who is actually advanced in self-realization protects his energy by controlling the senses. It is advised that after the age of 50, one should retire from family life and should conserve the energy of the body for utilization in the advancement of Krishna consciousness. Unless one is able to control the senses and engage them in the transcendental loving service of Mukunda, there is no possibility of salvation.
During the daytime in autumn, the sun is very scorching, but at night, due to the clear moonshine, people get relief from the day's fatigue. Similarly, a person who takes shelter in Mukunda, a Krishna, can be saved from the fatigue of misidentifying the body with the self. Mukunda, or Krishna, is also the source of solace for the damsels of Vrindavan. The damsels of Vrajabhumi are always suffering because of the separation from Krishna, and when they meet him during the moonlight autumn night, their fatigue of separation is revealed. When the skies clear of all clouds, the stars at night shine very beautifully. Similarly, when a person is actually situated in Krishna consciousness, he is cleaned of all dirty things, and he becomes as beautiful as the stars and the autumn sky. Although the Vedas contain instruction of pursuing knowledge, jnana, for the practicing mystic yoga, and for the engaging in karmic activities in the form of sacrifices, the ultimate purpose of the Vedas is stated in the Bhagavad Gita. One has to accept Krishna consciousness after thoroughly studying the Vedas. Therefore, the clean heart of the devotee in Krishna consciousness can be compared to the clean sky of the autumn season. During the autumn, the moon looks very bright, along with stars in the clear sky. Lord Krishna himself appeared in the sky of the Yadu dynasty, and he was exactly like the moon surrounded by the stars of the members of the Yadu dynasty. And when there are ample blossom blooming of flowers in the garden, in the forest, the fresh aromatic breeze gives great relief to the persons who have suffered during the summer of the rainy seasons. And unfortunately, such breezes could not give any relief to the gopis because of their heart's dedication to Krishna. People in general might have taken pleasure in that nice autumn breeze, but the gopis have not been embraced by Krishna. They're not very much satisfied.
On the arrival of the autumn season, all the cows, deer, birds, and females in general became pregnant, because in that season, all the husbands generally became empowered by sex desire. Such pregnant females are exactly like the transcendentalists who, by the grace of the Supreme Lord, are bestowed with the benediction of their destinations in life. Srila Rupa Goswami has instructed in his Upadesamrita that one should execute their devotional service with great enthusiasm, patience, and conviction, and should follow the rules and regulations, keep oneself clean from material contamination, and stay in the association of devotees. By following these six principles, one is sure to achieve the desired result of devotional service. For one who patiently follows the regulative principles of devotional service, the time will undoubtedly come when he will achieve the desired result, just as the females reap results by becoming pregnant.
During the autumn, the lotus flowers in the lakes grow in large numbers because of the absence of lilies. Both the lilies and the lotus flowers grow by sunshine, for during the autumn season, the scorching sunshine helps only the lotus. This is compared to a country where the king or the government is strong. The unwanted elements like thieves and robbers cannot prosper. When the citizens become confident that they will not be attacked by robbers, they develop with great satisfaction. A strong government is compared to the scorching sunshine in the autumn season. The lilies are compared to unwanted persons like robbers, and the lotus flowers are compared to the satisfied citizens. During autumn, the fields become full with ripened grain. At that time, the people become happy over the harvest and observe various ceremonies, such as Navana, the offering of new grain to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The new grain is first offered to the deities in various temples, and all are invited to take sweet rice made from this new grain. There are other religious ceremonies and methods of worship, particularly in Bengal, where the greatest of all such ceremonies is held, called Durga Puja.
In Vrindavan, the autumn season was very beautiful then, because of the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna and Balaram. The mercantile community, the royal order and great sages were free to move about in order to achieve their desired benedictions. Similarly, the transcendentalists, when freed from the encasement of the material body, also achieved their desired goal. During the rainy season, the mercantile community cannot move from one place to another, and so do not get their desired profit. Nor can the royal order go from one place to another to collect taxes on the people. As for saintly persons, who must travel to preach transcendental knowledge, they also are restrained by the rainy season. But during the autumn, all of them leave their confines. In the case of the transcendentalist, be he a jnani, a yogi, or a devotee, because of the material body, he cannot actually enjoy spiritual achievement. But as soon as he gives up the body, or after death, the jnani merges into the spiritual effulgence of the Supreme Lord. The yogi transfers himself to the various higher planets, and the devotee goes to the planet of the Supreme Lord. The local Vrindavan, a one of the Vaikunthas, and thus enjoys his eternal spiritual life. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta Purport, the 20th chapter of Krishna, description of Autumn.
Hare Krishna. That was very nice. Who was it? Keshav Bharati Maharaj was telling me that sometimes at Govardhan, the Govardhan Palace, they, like a small group of devotees, they just sit down and just do like this. They just read from something written by Prabhupada.
He reads daily out aloud, I think 41 or 49 pages at least every day,
really?
Out aloud of Bhagavatam. I think he's taken like a vow. He wrote in his Vyasa Puja offering a year or two ago. If you read that amount, you finish the Bhagavatam in 1 year, I think.
50 pages.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, I was listening to this and reading a bit, and it's just, well, it's what has been done is comparisons are being drawn. Comparisons, yeah. And so I was thinking as the reading was going on, where can I find something else about comparisons? And I thought of something. Now, these are kind of, well, they're different types of comparisons, but some of them are kind of material comparisons. Some of them are transcendental. But then I thought of something. Just bear with me for a sec, or a few seconds. And yeah, I thought of something we could just have a look at. Within which there's some mention of nice comparisons. So this is Brahma Samhita, text 55. Let me chant the Sanskrit, it's a very classic verse with kind of, well, very transcendental meter, if one gets into it. Brahma Samhita 56. Brahma Samhita 56. Shriya Kanta Kanta Parama Purusha Kalpa Taravo Druma Bhumis Chintamani Gana Maitoyam Ahamritam Kataganam Natyam Gamanam Api Vamsi Priya Saki Chidanandam Jyoti Paramapi Tadasvadyam Api Cha Sayatra Shirabdi Sravati Sura Vibhyascha Sumahan Nimesha Dakyo Vavrajatina Diatrapi Samaya Vaje Sweta Dweepam Tamaham Iha Golokam Itiyam Vidantaste Santashiti Vira Lachara Katipaye. I worship that transcendental seat known as Sweta Dweep, where, as loving consorts, the Lakshmis, in their unalloyed spiritual essence, practice the amorous service of the Supreme Lord Krishna as their only lover, where every tree is a transcendental purpose tree, where the soil is the purpose gem. All water is nectar. Every word is a song. Every gate is a dance. The flute is the favorite attendant. Effulgence is full of transcendental bliss. And the supreme spiritual entities are all enjoyable and tasty. When numberless milk cows always emit transcendental oceans of milk. Where there's eternal existence of transcendental time, who is ever present and without past or future, and hence is not subject to the quality of passing away, even for the space of half a moment, that realm is known as Goloka, only to a very few self-realized souls in this world. For me, this is a very beautiful verse, extremely beautiful verse. And in terms of this idea of comparisons, the description of autumn is just full of comparison after comparison after comparison. It's just amazing and very sometimes quite revealing types of comparisons. But here, of course, this is describing, Lord Brahma is describing Goloka. Goloka Vrindavan Dham, which is our natural home, and which, of course, there are resemblances, so comparisons can be made. But it's not quite as straightforward. You know, of course it was not easy. You can imagine going through that chapter and for, I guess, Shukadev Goswami to think up the comparisons of the different aspects of autumn with different features of life. But when we speak of Goloka, which is our natural home, and which, by the grace of Srimati Radharani and Lord Krishna, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada, and as sincere followers, maybe we pray at the end of this life, we'll be able to meet there again. Srila Jiva Goswami, to bring this out, you know, the idea of comparison, but the difficulty of comparison. You know, comparison can be there, but it's difficult between this world and Goloka Vrindavan, our natural home. So he gives some examples in his commentary on this verse. And, you know, I've talked about it on a number of occasions. Maybe you've all heard it on a number of occasions. But it just fascinates me, frankly. Like, first of all, he talks about, at least in this regard, first of all, in Goloka Vrindavan, all water is nectar. All water is nectar. Just water. Like, we have water here. And whenever we talk about this, I always do this. It's actually a fact. Take the water, take a sip. Well, is it Valpray? Or it's not Fiji. Are you familiar with Fiji, the Fiji water? That's, and it's not, what you call it now? It's Woolworths, PHA.
Yeah, it's good for them.
I hope we come really, really do. By the mercy of my Christ devotee. So anyway, but in Goloka, all water is nectar. But here, all water is water. And Fiji, well, I think it's an acquired taste. I mean, to be able to really distinguish the different grades or types. But in Goloka, it's different, because all water is nectar. And so, you know, when we talk about this, we ask the devotees, who is the best cook in wherever we are? Who's the best cook here? I'll tell you something about the Hari Priya is pretty hard to beat. She is hard to beat. What did you do when Dave and Rita Maharaj came? Do you remember? Was it Mexican? I think it was. And it was really excellent. So, you know, there all water is nectar. And means, Jiva Goswami just sort of briefly touches on this, that we, I'm sure Mother Hari Priya or, you know, different of the assembled devotees here, can make a nectar drink. Yeah. Mother Ananda Chandrika could make a nectar salad. It's really quite something. So anyway, nectar drink. You can imagine a nectar drink. We've all had different nectar drinks from time to time. I'll tell you a nice nectar drink. You might not have thought of this. Amasi Asakaya with vanilla and sugar. Cool. It's a nectar drink. It's amazing, honestly. The full cream, Amasi Asakaya. You know what I'm talking about? With vanilla and with sugar. Oh, it's amazing. Okay. You should experience it sometime.
You add the vanilla.
Huh?
Add the vanilla too.
Yeah. You add the vanilla.
It doesn't come like that. Yeah.
No. No, you've got to use your imagination. But it's a nectar drink. Maybe one time we'll make it for you, because it's... Okay. But even that, or, you know, if you can think of some other nectar drink, is like even the best nectar drink that you've had, is just like ordinary water in Goloka Vrindavan. Just ordinary water, nothing special, just the regular stuff. So Srila Jiva Goswami raises the question, and this is the point in regards to comparison, that if their ordinary water tastes like our best nectar, what does their nectar taste like? And he says, we have no experience of that. So therefore we cannot say, you know, we've had experience of, you know, whatever, Amasi Asakaya, vanilla, and sugar, cool, or some other nectar drink. We've had that experience. But that tastes like just ordinary, like tap water in the Goloka Vrindavan. So he puts it that way. If that's the case, what does their nectar taste like? And he says, we have no experience of that. So we cannot say, we cannot draw a comparison and say, well, you know, it's like something, something. Try and draw some type of comparison. Then he says, every word is a song. In Goloka Vrindavan, just when they're speaking, just, you know, how are you? Very, anyway, just how are you? Just very simple little beginning of a little personal exchange. How are you? Just ordinary, very ordinary talk. There's not, you know, real depth to it. Just a little social exchange. Almost out of habit, even. So, he says that, Srila Jiva Goswami, in Goloka Vrindavan, just their ordinary small talk. How are you? You know, did you hear something or other? How's the family? Just their ordinary small talk, he says, is like our best singing. Our very best singing. Who's our best singer? Well, Sacha Kumar's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Actually, Swoop Damodar Prabhu. He's like the nightingale of Chatsworth. No, you really say something else then. It's okay because I was told that Srila Prabhupada said that Vyasaki Prabhu was the nightingale of Bengal. It's an expression, a little, you know, not so common, but it's an expression in English. So he's the nightingale of chats. Completely unified. Okay. So anyway, how are you? Oh, nice to see you. All this very commonplace talk. There is like our best singing. Best singing. Just so beautiful, so nice, nicely done with, you know, musical arrangement like that. So Jiva Goswami, you can understand what he says. He says, if their ordinary talk is like our best singing, what is it like when they sing? And he says, we have no experience of that. So therefore we cannot comment, or it's inaccessible to us. Then every step is a dance. Just when you're just walking down the road, going nowhere, doing nothing in particular, just aimless wandering or something like that, in Goloka Vrindavan, it's like our best dancing here. Who's our best dancer? Are you a retired dancer? Anyway, they are or were definitely our best dancers. So when they were just dancing so amazingly, they were just flying. It's like their ordinary walking in Goloka Vrindavan. Yes? Just when they're just walking down the road. Nothing in particular. So, of course, Srila Jiva Goswami says, if their ordinary walking is like Subhadra and Yamuna's best dancing, what is it like when they dance? We have no experience of that. We only have experience anyway. Yeah. So therefore we cannot conceive of it. And he says, therefore, because we cannot comprehend it. It's beyond the scope of our conscious, of what we've ever been conscious of our consciousness. He makes a very interesting point, that because it's beyond us like that, and it's sort of like, you know, we draw a blank if we try to think of it. He says, therefore, very few people want to go there, because it's just, can't relate, beyond their capacity to relate. And therefore it's very important, it's essential, that the devotees preach and distribute and inform and explain. And in that way, these things can become accessible to the people. And as they gradually become more accessible, the people who they're becoming accessible to, you know, if it's all done very nicely, like how Prabhupada did it, then the attraction will arise. That, oh, I do want to go there. I must go there. I have to go there. I cannot do anything other than go there. Any other endeavor, you know, it's all just kind of inconsequential or at best not particularly important compared to that. So, yeah. So Prabhupada wanted all of us to read the books and to learn the books. Not just read in a sort of casual way like you read a novel, but read and study and absorb. Prabhupada said, like students, we've all been students, or Prabhupada said, read and discuss. Prabhupada said, like professors, discuss some deep subject matter, profound subject matter. But we should try and do like that ourselves, amongst ourselves, and then try to present it as much as possible to the people in general. Because, I mean, which means distribute Prabhupada's books, but also speak to the people and try and elaborate and clarify and so on like that. And in that way make these things which are otherwise just beyond the realm of comprehension, literally, make these things accessible, and then something deep within the heart of the ordinary person will be stimulated and aroused and awakened, and then their Krishna consciousness will start. And therefore, you know, in a sense, we're not exactly trying to mass produce devotees. Although, you know, that's nice also. But in one sense, in this sense, we're trying to make devotees one person at a time. And Prabhupada said, we just read the other day, somewhere, I forget exactly, in the temple, just a couple of days ago, Prabhupada was saying that we struggle to make one person a devotee. Who was reading that?
Just in the before the meeting, the gallons of blood.
That's it. That's the one. That's right. Yes, we expend gallons of blood. It's a big effort to get one person to become a devotee, and therefore we must then look after them. and not just, you know, sort of let them drift away or somehow or other get knocked out of the way, out of Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, we're creating these temples like Shishi Dalmitai Gora Hari, so the people in general can get the association of pure devotees. The pure devotees of PMB, who will be able to transmit things to the people nicely. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any comments? Comments?
Questions?
Comments.
I had a question.
How is it that we are expected, or how is it possible that we can be expected to make accessible such lofty realizations and experiences of the spiritual world to the people in general when we ourselves seek to struggle to have that same access or even have that realization?
Yes, right, of course. Well, you know, I think the simple answer to that is that if we just repeat the words coming from those who have, that's a pretty good start. And, you know, if we go on faithfully repeating without mental speculation, and just in general, faithfully practicing, gradually, you know, more realization or gradually tune in more and more to that reality. And then in doing, in communicating, there will be more potency. Yeah. There'll be more potency. Just like, you know, it's another thing, it's one of these sort of points that I like a lot, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is speaking to that American, some American intellectual who was visiting India. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta gives a, you know, you could say typically elaborate explanation of some philosophical points, actually of the Das Avatar. And how the Das Avatar, as you go from the first one to the tenth, are showing a type of evolution of consciousness in the Supreme. Very bold. I mean, it's really deep. So he's explaining all this to this American who's not familiar with these sorts of things. And in the end, he says, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta says, how do you find my explanation? How do you feel about it? And the man, you know, has not got a lot of it, because he's just a bit too green spiritually. So, but to save face, he says, well, I'll have to think about it. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, to the effect, says, don't think about it. Hear about it from devotees. Because if you think about it, you know, who knows what your conditioned mind will come up with. But if you hear about it from bona fide devotees, first you get the right information, and secondly, there's a transcendental potency which helps you, you know, despite your shortcomings, to actually start to grasp these things. So it's somewhere around that, I would say. Plus or minus.
Sorry, but you know, today in the Arati, in Jagannath Temple, we were singing. There were like three Murdanga players. They were really playing nicely. to your singing, and then we all went dancing. And of course, that's nothing in respect to the spiritual world. But just the experience was so nice.
Yes.
So we dance.
Well done. Well, you know the song. I could have danced all night. Well, that's good. I'm glad you liked it. That's nice. What was your comment?
This water is now nectar.
Did you taste it?
No, that mine is done.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder about the joking in Goloka.
We could refer to the autumn rain who distributed freely.
Yes.
This water.
Well, we got it free.
I'm just thinking in relation to what Mother Rasamrita said. Like, when we hear accounts of devotees' experiences of Prabhupada, because of that powerful potency he carried, you know, normal things just became so, like, amplified in the experience.
Right.
His kirtan, or his class, or his walking, or his gestures.
Yes.
It just affected devotees in such an amazing way. So I can see where she's also feeling it today in your kirtan. Ordinarily, okay, I mean, if the Nightingale of Chatsworth had the she would have the same experience. But when you were singing, it's the person also. It's just carrying that potency.
That. Yeah, just, you know, the way Prabhupada would pick up a flower and smell it. It's so ordinary. The devotees would find it. But it was fascinating. It was.
Like you hear accounts of Prabhupada drinking the water. It's just such a fascinating experience to see that.
Well, yeah, that traditional way that he would do it, you know, with such sort of culture and feeling. Pradayananda Maharaj, you probably heard, when he tries to drink like that, he would say, yes, well, let us have a shower. Okay, well,
Marge, I was thinking, since it's going to be a who knows how many weeks or months of sort of a go slow in everyone's lives.
Yeah.
Everyone's sort of forced to kind of like take stock of things and slow down.
Right.
It'd be nice if you could do this every day, like Keshe Bharati Maharaj, or however it's possible,
yeah.
Like the reading with devotees.
Yeah.
It could be streamed at the center for others to join in.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Things like that. Definitely. We must do. We must do.
Something like Krishna book.
Yeah.
Just finish it. Two volumes.
Well, I already heard of a few devotees who have been ordered to work at home by their employers. Well, in Joburg, actually.
What a wonderful order.
My boss, my friend. Okay, so should we have a little more kirtan, unless anyone's got some other comments or points? Do you want to say something? As our Peter Maritzburg overseer. Okay. Shall I sing a little?
Yes, yes.
Just a little.
Thank you for our spiritual father, and thank you for our spiritual family. I don't think there's anything else since our incident that has lifted our spirits as much as we have, and only by the Master should have helped. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your presence today.
Thank you to all of you.
Hare Krishna.
Well, you know, next weekend, I, according to the plan, everything's very fluid these days, but I should be in Joburg, but maybe if we could have, there could be another gathering, or any time, some invitations could be sent out.
We will look at that. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Dharmitai Gora Hare Kijaya Gopremanande Hare Kijaya.